But my words shall never pass away. I'm reading from John chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Jesus said to Philip, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he speaks. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Our Lord and God, leave us not to ourselves, but mold us so that we may share the full life of your Son. Give us strength of spirit, maturity of mind, and openness of heart, so that as we listen to your word, we may receive that word and profit by it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. We end so many of our prayers this way. Without the concluding phrase, our petitions and supplications before God wouldn't seem complete. It's a phrase that's used universally and accepted in all Christian circles. But what is the meaning and significance of the phrase? Why do we say, "In Jesus' name"? The phrase is sometimes interpreted as a kind of heavenly zip code. It's seen as a way of directing our prayers to the Heavenly Father with dispatch. Isn't saying "in Jesus' name" like writing 14901 at the bottom of an envelope address? Isn't it intended to catch the attention of the heavenly postmen to hurry our requests along? There is some truth to this interpretation. I'm sure that heaven regards important any mention of the name of Jesus, no matter how briefly or how thoughtlessly pronounced. But using the name of Jesus carries with it so much more. The Bible promises much in the name of Jesus. It tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Romans 10, 13, there Paul says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And in today's scripture from John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." These promises in the name of Jesus should make us hesitate ever to use Jesus' name lightly or thoughtlessly. There is power in the name of Jesus. What's in a name? This was the question of Shakespeare's Juliet. She had fallen head over heels with Romeo. But Romeo was a Montesquieu whose family was hated and despised by Juliet's relatives. "What's in a name?" Juliet asks. "That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Romeo was the precious rose that Juliet loved. His family name wasn't important to her, but as we know, the name was indeed important. Because of it, tragedy fell upon those young lovers and brought grief to all. There is power, history, reality in a name. Your name, in a sense, is you. If someone mentions to me the name Barbara, I have no strong inner reaction. If someone uses the name Rachel, still, I feel little. But if someone says Mary, immediately I conjure up in my mind the image of my wife. I conjure up the love and the personality of Mary. That is the name of one I love. Her name conveys her reality. When someone mentions to you Billy the Kid, don't you see the image of a Western villain? And if someone mentioned the name Billy Graham, you remember an important evangelist. The name implies the individual. The suggestion of one name can literally cause a physical reaction produced by jealousy, hatred, love. Would you name your child Jezebel? Of course not. Now, Jezebel is just as good a name as Judy or Joanne, but the implications are not the same. There's a story about a young man who was introducing a college friend to his hard-of-hearing grandmother. He said, "Grandmother, I'd like to introduce to you my friend Harold Specknoodle." The grandmother cupped her ear and responded, "What did you say, my boy?" "This is Harold Specknoodle, grandmother." "What is his name again?" "I'm a little hard of hearing, you know." "His name is Specknoodle, grandmother." "I'm sorry, my boy," said the elderly lady. "It sounds like Specknoodle to me." And it was Specknoodle. What's in a name? A great deal. An odd name is made fun of. A noble-sounding name is well-received. And a name that has gained a reputation for honesty and fair play, a name that is respected in a community, honored among men and women, that is to be truly desired, writes Shakespeare. A good name in a man and woman is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my money steals trash to something or nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he who filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him, but makes me poor indeed. You and I have been given a name that is above every name. We are called Christians. And as Christians, we are invited by Jesus Christ himself to pray in his name. To pray in Jesus' name means that something more than adding a phrase at the end of the prayer. It means to pray in and with the help of and through Jesus Christ. It is to desire what he desires, to think his thoughts after him, to pray his prayer. As we come before Almighty God in Jesus' name, we approach the heavenly throne robed in Jesus' righteousness and power. Christ is there with us. It is on the basis of his merit, not our own, that we are received and welcomed by God. It is the living and risen Christ that makes the difference. Therefore, Paul says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If I were to go to Elmira Bank and present a teller with a note saying, I want to borrow $1 million. The teller would look at the note and then look at this amateur magician and laugh. Because I'm not worth $1 million. I don't have the background to borrow $1 million. But if I would submit the same note and have it undersigned by Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or a Rockefeller, the money would be forthcoming. I will get the money, not because I'm coming on the basis of my own worth, not on the basis of my name, but because I'm coming on the basis of the merit of one who is worth at least $1 million. Jeff Bezos, I looked it up this morning, $175 billion are his. Wow. When we come before the Father in Jesus' name, thinking his thoughts, desiring his will, we are approaching God on the basis of the death, on the basis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is his merit that counts. He undersigns what we are praying. He is there to interpret for us and to make our petitions known. This kind of prayer links us up in the closest possible way to the Lord our God. We, in effect, are praying as his sons and daughters in Jesus' name. This kind of prayer may affect events, and I think that kind of prayer does. But more important, it makes us more receptive to what God is doing in our lives and at the deepest level. It puts us in tune with the infinite. It helps us to envision great possibilities and to fulfill our highest potential. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Lord God, help us to submit our wills to the will and desire of him who loves us and died for us. Help us to be more like Jesus, that we may truly and fully pray in his name. Through Christ we pray. Amen.